And I know we just celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday just a little over a month ago, but I believe that there's no better way to end 2013 than by saying thank you. And we're going to read the story this morning of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, it says this: as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Now, if you do any kind of studying at all on the subject of gratitude, medical research will tell you that gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that a person can express. That when you say thank you, it actually does more for you than it does for the person receiving the thanks. I can't think of a better way for us to close out 2013 than by us. And, you know, the devil likes to use all of our shortcomings and show us all the things we're not doing right, and all the and put it up in front of us, all the things we did do wrong, and all the things that we may be doing wrong now. And he also likes to put in front of us all the things that we don't have. You know, it's easy to say thank you for things you know you have, but it's not always easy to thank God for things you don't have. And the enemy really likes to put that in your face sometimes. You know, you don't got a lot to be thankful for. Look at this right here, and this is going wrong in your life, and you still don't have this figured out, and you still don't have that. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? At least I'm not this anymore. Come on, somebody. At least I have this now. And at least God did this for me. And you know, the moment you just start saying thank you to God for things, you can't help but get happy. Your whole life changes. We can start to express the true peace that comes from a relationship with Jesus when we start saying thank you. So we're going to take a few moments today, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and what actually does for us, and then we're going to spend a few on God thanks. Is that all right? I know we don't. That's a little bit unusual for us, but we're gonna thank Him for everything that did come out of the goodness of Him here in 2013. Number one I want to say to you is this: Thanksgiving reminds you of where you came from. Turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Thanksgiving will remind you where you came from. Now, some of you are probably going, "Well, I'd really like to forget where I came from." You know, you should never forget where you came from. If you forget where you come from, you don't know how bad you had it. If you forget where you came from, you'll just start thinking that you was just made perfect. Come on, somebody. You weren't. Isaiah chapter 51 says this: "Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined." Deuteronomy chapter 5. Go ahead and flip over there if you have your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 15 says this: "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath." You know, we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember the quarry from which we were mined out of. You know, we were born into a world of sin. We were born in flesh that has a sinful nature. And that sinful nature brings with it a whole lot of other things. It brings a whole lot more than just sin. You know, what you were born with, this sinful nature, this flesh, it also brought all of your addictions. Come on. It brought all of your bad habits. It brought all of your sickness. It brought all of your disease. It brought all of that flesh brought with it. That's the quarry you were mined from. You know what? You need to remember that. Why? Because Jesus redeemed us from that. And you know what? You can't be happy about where you are until you see where you came from. You know, we just celebrated our one-year anniversary just a couple of months ago. And we celebrated in this building. But you know, I don't drive around here very often without going down International Drive and eating at Miller's Ale House down there. We like to eat there quite a bit, and we like to eat it at Don Pablo's and all. And guess what's right next door to those places? The hotel that we started in. Some of you were with us then. It used to be a big pink castle. Now it's a big white castle, and not the burger restaurant. I kind of wish it was, though. It's a big white castle, and that's where we started, setting up and tearing down every day, every Sunday. And then we moved into that building we just moved out of. It was really a good upgrade, but yet it was so small, you get 50 people in there, and you felt like there was 500 people in there. And you know what? If you forget about those places, you know, you can't really be thankful for this. You can walk into a place like this and look around and go, "Oh, that's nice. You know, you guys are a church, though. You guys should have you guys should be." There's not kind of a small church. Well, compared to where we started, this is the Taj Mahal. You know, considering where we started from, you know, this is the Crystal Cathedral, and I'm Robert Schuller, and I need a robe. Listen, if you forget where you came from and what you came out of, you can't be real thankful for where you are right now. And you know what? No matter what's going on in your own personal life, you need to look back and I don't think you need to dwell there. You don't need to camp there. You don't need to go and set up and pour a foundation and build a house there. But you know what? You ought to have a rear view mirror set there so you can check back there and go, "Oh, yeah, at least I'm not there anymore." You know, it's not good for us to go and live in our past. You know, you can't go forward if you're always looking backward. You know, it's impossible. You know, in fact, if there's anybody in here that plays sports, when you play in the outfield, they always tell you if there's a fly hitting over your head, don't run with your head back towards it because you can't run very fast. Turn and take off running with your head looking where you're going as fast as you can. And then start looking. Because and constantly keep looking back. Why? Because if you don't keep looking forward to where you're going, first of all, you can't get there fast enough. And secondly, if you don't keep looking forward, you're going to run into a wall. But you still need to look behind you to see where that ball is. I got to track that ball, and I need to adjust. Listen, where you came from is behind you. And if you're just turning back like this all the time and you're just looking and you're trying to walk forward, you're going to walk into something or you're not going to see something coming and you're not going to get there as quickly as you need to get there. But it does, Thanksgiving, remind you where you came from. Listen, God did an amazing things in the lives of these 10 lepers. It was more than just physically healing them. I'm going to read you a little bit of something about the way they treated lepers back then. In the Mosaic Law, which was the law that Moses penned, they pronounced lepers as being unclean. Now, if you've ever seen any old movies that showed lepers, and you know, especially if you y'all know how I feel about Charlton Heston, but Ben-Hur, see, now the Gillespies bought me the Ten Commandments for Christmas, so now I'm going to talk about Ben-Hur and see if I can just get the whole collection. Planet of the Apes, we'll just talk, no, I'm just kidding. Don't nobody go out and buy that for me, all right? But But in Ben-Hur, there's a leper scene in there. And anytime you see the lepers, they always had to say unclean so you didn't come near them. That was the law. That wasn't like, oh, poor lepers. If they didn't, they were arrested or killed. That was the law, okay? They were not fit to enter into the tabernacle or later into the temple to worship. They could not be with their families. The law, according to Numbers chapter 5, required them to live outside of the city. Okay? In leper colonies. Usually caves and those kind of things. The law required that they rent their clothes as signs of extreme sorrow, that their faces were to be covered, and that they had to cry out unclean whenever anyone came close to them so that nobody else would catch it. Their faces were hidden, representing that no form of intimacy could be known to them. In the Hebrew tradition, the face was seen as being the most intimate part of their being. When you made face-to-face contact with somebody, that was a very intimate thing. Okay, so they had to cover that up because they didn't want any intimacy. When the Jews were commanded to seek the face of God, they were commanded to seek his presence, for the same Hebrew word that is for face is the same word that is for presence. So when they said seek the face of God, they were supposed to seek the presence of God. And you think about that. When you covered up your face, now check that out. Now there's countries now where people, you know, women are not allowed to show their faces in public except to the man. See, this is why. That all stems from the same, you know, Abrahamic, you know, Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael. That's where those things came from, okay? Those all came out of that. And so it Jesus restored their complete life, socially, physically, emotionally, you name it, spiritually. Jesus restored them fully, which is what he does for Christians. We get hung up so much sometimes on well, at least I'm not going to hell. Listen, Jesus didn't just redeem you from hell. He redeemed you to have a life that the Bible says is as heaven is on earth. there. I mean, I'm not kidding. Everything. I mean, they're all swerving all over the place. Right by my... I'm throwing dirt up on the fire. And you know what? It made me start getting a whole new perspective of what happened that night. Why? Because I started thanking God that I didn't get killed. It made me realize where I come from. Okay? I came from a near-death experience to still standing here before... Listen, where you are right now, you ought to be thanking God for, because it makes you see where you came from. You ever hear somebody start thanking somebody else for something that they've done? And they start talking and they start saying thank you, and then you see them and they're right in the middle of the sentence and they get that, and they start to, you know, they call it beklempt. I'm getting beklempt. And they start to get choked up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The reality of what they're talking about. And this is what happens when we tell God thank you. All right? Where you are today is not where you were yesterday. What challenge has he brought you out of in victory? What victories do you have in your life? Let's start saying thank you to God for. Let's go back in our minds and remember that time when God did that for you. Okay? Go to that. Even if you have to go so far back to that first place where God met you with his mercy and his grace, go there and start saying thank you for it. Challenge that has hit us early on in the year that we can look back on and say, okay, that's laying there dead now and I'm standing victorious. We ought to be saying thank you for. Some of the things that we used to do, the places that we've come from, the lifestyle that we're walking away from, we're progressing in our walk with God. Those are the things that we should all be saying thank you for. Number two, it is a statement of faith to say thank you. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now I want you to look at that verse right there, verse 24. And whatever things you ask, now look at those next three words there, when you pray. Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When are you supposed to believe that you receive them? Come on now. When are we supposed to believe that we receive them? When we prayed. You ever said the words, "I'll believe it," come on, "when I see it"? Anybody ever said that? Now, how many of you can look at this right here and see that logic is wrong? Correct thing to say. Listen, and this is what the ultimate faith expression is to say thank you before you see it. Amen. To say thank you before you can touch it. To say thank you before you can smell it or taste it. The only thing you know is what you prayed. And when you pray it, say thank you. That's what thank you does. It is the ultimate statement of faith. If we have received the answer when we prayed, regardless if we see it or not, the response should be thank you. Well, I don't see any difference. Saying thank you before shows that you believe that Believe that you received more than you can see. Does that make sense? Saying thank you before you see it says that you believe you received it more than you believe that it's not there. That's probably a better way to say it. And that's what faith is all about, is accepting God at his promises before you can put your hands on it. This is the kind of faith that pleases God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he faithful love endures forever." You know, if somebody tells you they're going to do something and it's somebody that you can for you, you'll tell them thank you before they do it. When I was at Rhema, and they were taking up an offering for, well, this is when Brother Hagin was still alive, and that's his senior I'm talking about. When Brother Hagin Sr. was still alive, he was, you know, in his 80s, and they were going to buy an airplane. And now some of you may have all kinds of opinions about airplanes for ministries and stuff like that. Listen, when somebody's 80-some years old and has 14 schools around the world and is I don't have a problem with somebody like that having an airplane. Now, you can say whatever you want. I didn't have a problem with it, because to me it was protecting the anointing of an 80-year-old prophet of God that was doing some great things in the world. And so they were buying an airplane for him. And I remember Kenneth Copeland was standing on stage, and he turned and he looked at him and he said, "I commit right now to give $100,000 toward this airplane." Now, at that point, no check is written. There's no money. It's not like he just reached in his pocket and pulled out $100,000 and just, you know, here's $10,000, here's an... I mean, that'd take all of his pockets, first of all. But, you know, but he didn't do that. He just turned around and he said, "I'm going to give you $100,000. And Brother Hagin looked at him, and his first words out of his mouth were, "Well, thank you very much, Ken." He said thank you before there's any money changing hands or anything. Now, that stood out to me, because I thought, man, what a relationship those two have if he's going to say thank you before he gets $100,000. Because to me, I'd be like, "Well, as soon as I get that, I'll send you a thank you card." I don't know you well enough. But see, that's the whole point. Those two had history, and those, come on somebody, watch this. Those two had history. Those two had a relationship. And he knew that he could take Brother Copeland at his word. And see, when you know God, come on somebody, and you know what his word says, you don't have to go and put your hands on the promise before you'll say thank you. When you have a relationship with God, you can believe him at his word and you'll tell him thank you beforehand. And listen, this is a challenge for some of you, because some of you are sitting there right now facing challenges and have been facing a challenge for a long time, and you've prayed about it and you've begged. Almost got down on your knees and said, "God, I don't know what else to do. You're going to have to do something." And this is the relationship. You need to quit begging God for that and start telling God thank you. Because if you really know God and you really have a relationship with God, you ought to know by now that he didn't bring you this, come on somebody, to leave you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't... to swim, to let you drown. He didn't build his home in you to move away. He didn't lift you up to let you down. That's an old song right there. But listen, God did that. You need to start telling him thank you for that loved one that's not walking with God, that's coming home. You need to start telling him thank you to God that my business is successful and it is going to be worth this amount of money. You know, I thank you, God, for my new job that's going to pay me this much more. I thank you, God, that I have favor at this person at my job that hates me right now. I thank you. Lord, you need to start telling him thank you right now. Why? Because it is showing him you believe his word. When you say thank you in advance, we're saying to God, "God, I'm so sure of your goodness. I'm so sure that you're working in my life." In the same boat that you used to be. You are not the same person that you used to be. Thank God, but there may be some challenges that are still hanging around. There may be some things that you're still facing. But it's a choice for you to believe God more than those challenges. And so if you believe you receive that answer, then just start telling him thank you. Saying thank you will take you right into the presence of God. Psalms chapter 95, verse number 2 says, "Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to God." Psalms 100, verse number 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." The absolute quickest way to get into the same shared space with God is to start saying thank you. Now, I believe that as Christians, we actually can't go anywhere where the presence of God is not already at. Amen. Why? Because he lives in us. If you're filled with the Spirit, he's on you. I mean, Jesus said in, I believe that's Matthew chapter 28, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All right? So what does that mean to get into the presence of God? How do you go somewhere where he's already at? I mean, is it like that we leave here and go somewhere else? No, it actually changes us. See, what happens is when we start saying thank you, it envelops an atmosphere where we can perceive the presence of God. You know, I don't know about you, but my grandmother always tell me, "You better watch because God's always with you and always watching." Anybody ever else hear that? Listen, I grew up strict Pentecost, and they tell us you don't go to the movies because, you know, would Jesus go in there? And I'm like, well, he's already in there. I mean, he's everywhere. Well, you're just being rebellious. You know, you don't go anywhere that you wouldn't take the Lord with you. Well, he's already there. He's already there. There's not one place that we can go that he's not already at. But how many of you can know you are not always aware or perceiving that of his presence? And so even though we're there and we are in the presence of God, and you know when we're doing stuff wrong, he already knows it. He's standing right there watching you. He already sees it. He already knows it. But you may not be aware of his presence. And when we say you're going into the presence of God, thanksgiving will take you into the presence of God. It's not that all of a sudden you're being transported to the throne room. It actually changes your perception and turns your faith to the place where you can perceive the presence of God. You know, I walked into my little 2-year-old's room this morning. Peyton was laying there asleep, and he was barely asleep. He was kind of halfway. We got him one of those toddler rails for the side of his bed, so he can kind of, instead of climbing out of the crib, he can kind of slide out now. And so he kind of sleeps half of his body in on the rail, and then the other half's like laying out, and he's kind of hanging out of the bed, and he's just kind of laying there, look, just kind of blinking a little bit and looking at the ceiling, and I'm just kind of watching him for a minute, and he just laying there just having a good old time, just blinking and looking, picking up his sippy cup and slinging it over his head, some stuff dripping down on him, and he don't care. He just having a good old time until he became keenly aware that I was in the room. And what happened when it was in the room? It's not like I moved or anything. I didn't change. I just stood there at the door and just watched. As he's moving his cup around, he actually kind of moved it up to a place where he could finally see me out of the corner of his eye over here. And his actions completely changed. Then he got embarrassed about what he was doing. And he pulled that cup down and turned around and looked at me. And a big smile came across his face. And he's like, "Day!" And he jumped out, you know, slid out the rest of the way and came over and grabbed a hold of me. This is what thanksgiving does for you. It's, you know, you can be doing whatever you're doing. Listen, God's standing right there next to you. But when you start telling him, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing in my life, what you have done in my life, it doesn't change him. It changes you. It gets you to a point, oh, whoa, whoa, hey, there he is. He's right there. It actually changes you. And then, listen, I don't know about you, but in this time and in this place, in our time here on earth, I don't want to be in a place without him. I don't want to go somewhere unaware of his presence. I don't want to go somewhere thinking I'm by myself. Listen, I know that we have all been gifted, and we've all been fearfully and wonderfully made. But listen, I still want the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the God that's more than enough, walking right next to me, and I want to know He's there. You know, this morning when I dropped him off there at the Peyton off at the door right there, and Melissa was in there kind of helping check kids in, he grabbed a hold of my leg. It was, you know, I was standing right behind him, but he didn't want to go in. They never want to go in a nursery. Anybody else's kids ever done it? They never want to go in a nursery. And so he reached over and grabbed hold of my leg. And listen, this is what Thanksgiving does. That gets you your arms wrapped around God's leg so that you know, come on somebody, that He's right there next to you. It puts you in His presence that close. And I mean right into His presence. It makes you keenly aware that the presence of God was so important to the children of Israel that they didn't even want to inherit the promised land without Him. Now, if you turn your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 33, I want to show you something real quick. This is how awesome the presence of God is. The presence of God is more important for us than the promises of God are. Now, I want you to catch that. The presence of God is more important to us than the promise of God. And if we're going to be in anywhere, I want to be where He is. Stuff is. I can walk in His blessing, and that's great. But if I'm walking in His blessing without Him, that's just a waste. Now, in this story here, and we're going to 33, but in 32, they're worshiping the golden calf while Moses is up there writing the Ten Commandments. And he comes down and sees what's going on and throws the Ten Commandments at him, has to go back up and get a new ten. And so when they come down, he's like, Moses, they have done such a terrible thing that you can just go, take them on into the land that I put, land that'll flow with milk and honey, and it will be everything I said it would be, but I'm not going with you. I am not going to go with you. You're all going in there, and it'll be everything I said, but I'm not going. And in verse 33, or chapter 33, verse number 15, Moses says this. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Now, what's this place? The wilderness. It was more important for the children of Israel to stay in the presence of God in the wilderness than in the promise without Him. And there are a lot of people that are trying to get ahead of God sometimes into the promise. Well, God, you promised, and they're forcing it, and they're forcing it. We need to stay in His presence. And the way to stay in His presence is thank you for what He's already done. Thank you, Lord. The presence of God is the place everyone longs to be. We want to feel that. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been in one of those services where it just feels like it's almost like engulfed you. It's almost like it's almost like you're in a bath, like underwater, because you're just in the heavy presence. And everybody wants to get back to those times. Oh, man, I wish I could feel God like that. Oh, I wish I could experience God like that. I mean, we get it by ourselves and we try and drum something up and we want to experience Him and we want to have that and nothing happens. The way that it always happens is to start telling Him thank you. We want to have that experience where He just walks into the room and we know it. The only guaranteed way that can happen is by you saying thank you. When you say thank you to God, your faith changes the atmosphere and your spirit man begins to reach out and touch the presence of God. And the next thing you know, boom, you're with Him. You're hanging onto His leg. You're touching the hem of His garment. You're climbing up into your lap. You go through those times in your life where you feel all by yourself and you're facing challenges alone, start telling God thank you. You feel like the challenge that you're facing may be the one that's taking you out permanently, start telling God thank you for what He's going to do. Saying thank you to God takes you straight into the place where you and Him are face, come on, to face. And remember what we said about face-to-face encounters. That's the presence, that's the intimate side. of being with God. And your life begins to be molded and shaped by the very hands that formed you to begin with. Your life and your future starts to be shaped by the very hands that shaped the universe. Hands that died on the cross for your redemption. Saying thanks takes you right into the presence of God. And in His presence, I'll close with this scripture, Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hands are pleasures forevermore. You want to be in the presence of God? You want to have Him walking right next to you in a conscious way where you can feel Him, touch Him, experience Him? Say thank you. Now, as we have just a few minutes here, I want to just take a few minutes, and I want us to just tell God thank you for what He's done in our lives. Listen, 2013 saw a lot of challenges. Come on, anybody can contest to that? There's been things that people, I mean, I know that we've visited with many of you and talked with many of you, and there are things that you all have gone through and are going through. And it had challenges, but it also had victories. And there are still some things that are unsure of and we don't know about it. And they're still out there in the future. And there's, listen, there are still some mysteries out there. But listen, we still have victories. And we still have the promise of a victory. And so we need to start telling God thank you. So I want to just take a few minutes while we're here at our seat. And just while it's soft. And I want you to just take a few moments. And I really want you to go and remember the victories of 2013. Think about those victories. Think about what God's done for you this past year. Come on, heads bowed, eyes closed.